Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, once again, we're glad to be with you, and God has given us another day to praise Him and thank Him for all His many blessings that He has given to us. And we're going to talk about God's message to pastors, or we could say Christian workers, Sunday school teachers, and what God has to say to them, taken from Jeremiah chapter 23. But before we do that, we have Pastor Davis from Richfield Bible Baptist Church giving us one of his outstanding scientific reports on the Bible.
Well, thank you, Bruce, and it's good to be with you again today. And again, just before we get going, just wanted to remind people that you can check out our website for whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And you can find out more about Bruce Musselman there and listen to some past programs there and some other resources and things that Bruce has there at whereisgodsword.com. And there's some other materials there, Bruce teaching and preaching on church history and things of that nature. So you can check all that out, whereisgodsword.com. Well, I wanted to share something from the field of archaeology today. And I can remember a long time ago when I was in high school, we had, actually at that time back in the 70s, you could still have a Bible as literature class in a public high school. And so in the class, I remember the teacher talking about how, and by the way, our teacher actually happened to be saved, which was nice. But he talked about how when Abraham was alive, people said that Abraham and the things written about him couldn't have been true because they didn't have writing back then. They hadn't invented writing yet. And then they found a whole library, Ur of the Chaldees, where Abraham was from, that had all kinds of detailed writing, everything as mundane as sales receipts, all the way up through property records and court proceedings and things of that nature. And so that got me looking at a couple things here. And there's just a couple things I want to hit here real quick with this, talking about archaeology and the Bible. It's interesting because for a long time, scholars tried to say that Moses could not have wrote the detailed laws that make up the Levitical system. Of course, let me interject there. Moses didn't come up with it. God gave those to him. He gave them to Moses. But that was about 1400 BC, or about the 15th century before Christ. But then, lo and behold, archaeologists turned up a few more things the 18th century BC, they turned up the Code of Hammurabi, which is a very complex code of law and conduct that existed about 300 years before Moses inscribed the law that God gave to him. And Hammurabi himself was preceded by Lipit Ishtar of Isin in the 20th century BC with a complex code of law. And then even before that, in the 21st century BC, they found the Sumerian ruler Ur-Nammu of Ur. Ur should sound familiar. That's where Abraham came from. And he also had a code of laws that was penned in. And actually, Hammurabi's was very similar to Ur of Nammu's and Lipit Ishtar. Well, that's one area where the archaeologists have proved the Bible is correct and the scholars were incorrect. Here's another area. In the book of Daniel chapter 5, it starts out saying in verse 1, Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before them. So it's talking about King Belshazzar here. And in this chapter, this is where God says the hand that writes on the wall. And this is the one that basically where God tells him his days are up, the kingdom's going to be destroyed. And when he sees this, he wonders about what the writing is, and in Daniel 5, verse 7 says, the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, the soothsayers, and the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Now, elsewhere, also in verse 16, verse 29, Of course, Daniel is the one who writes this, and he's told by Belshazzar, if you interpret this, then I'll make you the third ruler in the kingdom. And then by verse 29, he's interpreted it, and he says, I'm going to make you the third ruler in the kingdom. So people have said, well, there's problems with this. Belshazzar, he wasn't king at the time. In fact, it was King Nabonidus that was king at this time, Belshazzar's father. And so they say, this couldn't have been a valid offer. This must have been made up. This must have been added. This is an error in the Bible. Well, once again, the archaeologists have proved that the scholars were wrong, because they found that this was vindicated when they found some things they called the cylinders of
Nabonidus.
Easy to say. There, go ahead, say it again.
Nabonidus.
Nabonidus. There we are. It's a tongue twister. And in these, they found out that it mentions Belshazzar as his eldest son, that he had left in charge doing the governing work, where he was off fighting wars. And so Belshazzar was the second in the kingdom. And so it was just entirely possible and legitimate for him to make the offer to somebody to be the third in the kingdom, because his father was first, he was second, and so he then makes Daniel the third in the kingdom. So again, the archaeologist supports the Bible and puts to lie the scholars' musings. And one more here that we'll touch on. There were some scholars, Lemchi, for instance, who held that David was mythical. King David of the Bible was a mythical person, and that the biblical accounts talking about him were actually made up much later. Well, in 1993, excavating the ancient city of Dan, the archaeologists uncovered a stone engraved by an Aramaean king, probably King Hazael, to commemorate his victory over the ancient Hebrews. You can see this in 2 Kings chapter 8 and chapter 9. And there he boasts that he had defeated the king of the house of David, which would be a descendant of David who was ruling over the northern kingdom at the time. And so here we have, again, the archaeologists confirming that David was a real person, not a myth like the scholars said. And while I'm on it, people had tried to say that Caiaphas and Pilate weren't around either, and the archaeologists have proved them as well. But here we are, archaeology, interesting science. And once again, the archaeologist Spade has uncovered the truth of the Word of God and put to lie the musings of the scholars that doubted it.
Yes, I think some scholars, maybe you could call it a cognitive dissonance or something.
Yes, cognitive dissonance.
Yes, they have they've gone down some kind of a neurotic delusions of grandeur or something. They think whatever comes into their head is the truth. You know, also added to that, and by the way, that's a fantastic report. You're as good as archaeology as you are in science there. But I was reading where they found one of the guys on Nebuchadnezzar's cabinet was Ashpenaz, and mm-hmm. they found a cylinder with his name on it, too, mentioned in the book of Daniel.
Well, that reminds me, when you look at in Israel today, the Muslims control the Temple Mount, and they're digging up all kinds of stuff and destroying all kinds of artifacts and things that substantiate the fact that King David and King Solomon ruled there, and that the Hebrew people were there all these centuries. And after they destroy them and they throw them out, they say, nope, there's no evidence here.
Well, we have the truth in our Bible, and it's called the King James Bible.
Amen.
That's what we're all about. God is speaking here to the pastors, and I'm for pastors. It's very negative what I'm about to read here, but I'm for pastors. I've been one for over 60 years, taught pastors, and been in charge, chairman, voted in as chairman of Pastors Fellowship for years, and so I'm totally for them. It's not somebody from the outside looking in, but I'm just actually reading what God says to preachers. And he has controversy with a lot of preachers. And we have politicians in Washington that are trying to legislate and turn his country into Sodom and Gomorrah. And so the problem, though, is one of the great problems that's causing it is pastors that are not in obedience to the Word of God. And so I want to read today from Jeremiah 23, and God is talking to pastors here. And he says this, "Woe be to the pastors." Now, that means the pastor is going to be in big trouble with God that destroy and scatter the sheep. So he's saying the pastors scatter the sheep, and Jesus attacked the leaders of Israel who were, in a sense, pastors at that time because they rejected him. And so they brought the destruction into Israel, and eventually in 70 AD, Jerusalem was destroyed, and the people were scattered all over the world, but the pastors weren't teaching the Word of God. You know, today, whatever denomination you belong to, if you're a Jewish or Roman Catholic, Protestant or Baptist or whatever you go by, you better read the Bible and find out if your preacher is telling you what the Bible says. I think a lot of you would change denominations if you ever started reading the Bible. And you're responsible personally to God for whether you read that Bible. And I mean, read it systematically. And read each chapter when you read it two or three times so that you get it into your mind and into your heart. Now, God is saying, hey, woe to the pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep. And much of our problem in America, great, goes back right to the pastors. And God says this. It says, saith the Lord. This is what Almighty God says. Now, that's the beginning problem. You have preachers today in all denominations, and even ones that say they believe the Word of God, they don't even believe they have the Word of God today. Brother Al, I'm going to ask you to comment on that.
Well, and you're talking about that, and it just reminded me of a story that came out here just recently, within the last year or so, where Pope Francis has said the Quran and the Holy Bible are the same. And so even people who pretend to believe the Bible really don't believe it. And that's what your program's about, the fact that we need to uphold and defend the Word of God. And pastors, how are we going to feed the flock of God if we don't have a holy Word of God, a true Word of God? And it's certainly not the same as the Quran, is it?
Absolutely not. You need to, as individuals, you need to read the Bible systematically and read each chapter two or three times, you know, when you read it, because you'll get it into your heart and into your mind. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel against the pastors that feed my people. Now, here he's talking to the pastors, in other words, the rabbis of the Jewish people. If you're Jewish today, you ought to read the Tanakh or the Old Testament. Start there. You don't say, I don't believe the New Testament. Read what Moses and the prophets say. Judaism today is just based on what some rabbis made up. It's not what the Bible says, and that goes for most denominations. It says, the Lord says, woe against the pastors that feed my people. Ye have scattered my flock and driven them away. Now it says they feed the people. Of course, they don't feed them on, they feed them on arsenic and poison. And you scattered the flock. So after a while, they feed them on the garbage in the flock. That is, the people that listen to them finally are scattered. I know, and I visit from door to door in Lakewood, and so many of the ministers at that time in that town, they didn't believe anything in the Bible. And you could tell by just talking to the people. They taught them against the Bible. So after a while, the people quit going to church, and I don't blame them. What do they go to church for? In Europe, a lot of them don't go to church because the pastors don't believe anything. It says, and have driven them away. That's the next thing. They just drive them away because there's nothing to give them but dry bread and stale and moldy bones. And then it says, and have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, says the Lord. I was just reading a Lutheran paper. And it was going to a lot of pastors. And in this paper, the fellow stated that wrote the paper, and he was a Lutheran pastor, he said the Lutheran churches are going down and closing, a number of them are closing. And he says, because the pastors aren't visiting. Well, you could say that across the board in all denominations. The pastors aren't out there visiting. And the Bible tells us there, God says, you have not visited, you haven't visited. It says, ye have scattered my flock and driven them away, have not visited them. Behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doing, saith the Lord. I think you see people in church and maybe single people, and here they come for a while and then they drop out and nobody even cares. Nobody sends them a card. Nobody calls them on the phone. Nobody sees them. If you're a teacher, it is your responsibility. God says, I give you, he says that I'm going to hold you accountable for each one of them. And you need to start, churches need to start taking a record of who comes. Even a public school, they'll have a record of who comes and who doesn't. And go out there with tears even and say, I love you and I want you here. You know, do it. You know, D.L. Moody, the famous evangelist, his Sunday school teacher went to his house, couldn't find him at home. So he finally found him at work, asked his boss if he could talk to him. And he talked to him with tears. And Moody says, man, if he's that concerned about my soul, I ought to be concerned about it. And Moody got saved. And he built a Sunday school first. And then he ended up preaching to great crowds all over the United States and England. But I remember, and I've seen a number of Sunday school teachers like this. They think they're just supposed to come in there on Sunday morning, teach a lesson, and that's it. If the people come, okay, they come. If they don't, they don't come. What kind of, you know, they need to either resign or repent of their sin. This is awful. It says you, this flock is scattered because you don't visit. Somebody says, well, I got 10,000 and I'm too busy. You're still too busy not to visit. I don't care how many people you have. I know some in the fellowships that I am involved with, some of the largest Baptist churches in the world. I think of Temple Baptist in Chattanooga, Tennessee, or Temple Baptist in Detroit, or the large Baptist church in Chattanooga, or Akron Baptist Temple when Dallas Billington was there. All of these pastors, they had thousands attending their churches, but they personally were out there witnessing and winning souls to Christ. I know this is a fact constantly. You know, the Bible says, daily in the temple, in every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus. That's what the apostles did every single day. And a lot of you need to turn off your computers and turn off your air conditioners and get out there and turn on the keys to your car and get out there and start knocking on doors and start going after the flock. You know, I think about Jesus. What did he do to start Christianity? He went after the disciples. Peter and John were out there fishing, and he went out there where they were fishing and went after them. And he went after them one by one. The God of this universe did that. And when some of them were backslidden, you see Peter after the crucifixion and after Jesus rose from the dead, and he got backslidden, and he was out there fishing again. What did Jesus do? He went out there where he was fishing and went after him. I heard a story of John the Apostle, and he gave this young convert to this one preacher. And he says, you take care of him. And the preacher, eventually this young convert backslid, and he joined up with the robber band, became a leader of a group of robbers. And John the Apostle went to that preacher and he said, what'd you do with him? I gave him to you to take care of him. Where is he? Where? And he said, well, he's off in the woods somewhere in a robber band. And the old man, John the Apostle, went after him, went out there and found him, and the robbers got him and brought him to the leader. And John said, I love you. I care concerned about you, and brought him back to the Lord Jesus Christ. Every teacher and every preacher, you might have 10,000 in church, but you should still be out there. The God of this universe did it. Look at Jesus. He went through the universe, and he personally went after Paul, made a personal visitation on the Apostle Paul. And it says it's evil for people not to visit and witness. The Bible says daily in the temple and every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus. And I found out there's people, you know, the way to do it is you start doing it yourself. You won't get people to do it unless you do it. And then you start doing it yourself, and you start You say you want to work for the Lord. Start having a Bible study with one individual, and build them up. I mean, talk to him and tell him to witness to his friends or invite his friends. I remember I work for Cleveland Baptist Church for many years, and I would go out and visit people that made a profession of faith because we try to follow up everybody. And I went to one house and the guy was had a mental breakdown, but he got saved, and I kept going back. He was telling me his problems. He did most of the talking, but eventually he got right with the Lord, and I followed him up, and he started witness to his friends, and a lot of his friends got saved. And I can repeat this story over and over again, just visiting people in their houses. So it says, I will gather the remnant of my flock. Now he's talking to the preachers, out of all countries whither they have driven them, and will bring them again to their folds, and they shall be fruitful and increase. Now right here, he's telling the Jewish people that he is going to bring the Jews back to the land of Israel. That's what he says, Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 3. You got a whole lot of preachers that don't believe that today. At the Council of Ephesus in 325, they started teaching that all the promises that God gave to the Jews, all the good promises were given to the Roman church, and all the curses were given to the Jews. Isn't that a wonderful thing, you know? And this crazy stuff. And God says right here, he's going to bring the Jewish people back to the land. Preacher, do you believe that? Do you believe what God says? It says it all the way through the Bible. That's a miraculous prophecy. And it's taking place right in front of our eyes. Does your church teach that? Now he says, I will set up shepherds over them. They shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed. Neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord. The Bible says we are the pastors to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his blood. Feed him on what? The word of God. You read it and you explain it to them, and you make an application to their heart and to their life. And you can't do that unless you talk to people individually. You can't do it right unless you're out there witnessing and you know their problems. But you feed them the word of God. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. Now I say it to the preachers, King David is going to have a righteous branch, that is, Jesus Christ is going to come, and he will rule over this earth, and he will be the king. And we ought to preach that. Preachers ought to teach that. The second coming of Jesus. And if they're not preaching that, you're not preaching that, you're not right with the Lord. In his days, Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And somebody says, what's that mean, saved? That means saved from God's wrath, saved from hell, saved from judgment, and saved to go to heaven. And Israel shall dwell safely, and this is his name whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteousness. Your righteousness will get you only one place, and that is hellfire. But the Lord our righteousness, Jesus lived a perfect life, and he died for your sins. And when you put your faith in him, your sins are counted to him, and his perfect righteousness is counted to you. And you are looked at by God as perfectly righteous and become a member of God's family. Therefore, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, there shall no more say the Lord that liveth, which brought up the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt, but the Lord liveth, which brought up out of the land which the seed of the house of Israel out of the north country. And from all countries, the north of Israel is Russia. And they're coming out of Russia, just like the Bible said. I have driven them, and they shall dwell in their own land. People say, God's through with the Jews. You're a liar. You don't believe the Bible. Mine heart within me is broken because of the prophets. All my bones shake. I am like a drunken man. And this is what Jeremiah says, because he sees the falsehood that they're teaching. Because of the Lord and because of the words of his holiness. And one other thing, it says there, ye have perverted the words of the living God. People say, don't give me that book. They're giving out Bible versions that have perverted the words of God. And Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, my word shall not pass away. The King James Bible is based on the old italic text, goes back to the time of the apostles. The Syriac Peshitta goes back to the apostles. The Koine Greek back to the apostles. And we have it today. And Jesus said we'd have it. My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. God bless you.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantua Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantua Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at the same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.